ఓం నమో భగవచే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవచే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవచే వాసుదేవాయ. So I have been requested to speak on the topic of how there can be more peace and harmony, less stress, how to increase good karmas and deplenish or deplete bad karmas. Is that correct? So it took 3 days of meditation before Krishna in my heart gave me the eyes by which to tackle this topic. And I will speak 2 times. So I'm going to speak now, then there'll be some more singing, and then I'll speak again to answer this request. So what Krishna in my heart dictated is a section from the Srimad Bhagavatam where Lord Kapila is Krishna in his form as a Muni, and he was speaking and answering the questions of his mother Devahuti. You will find that Lord Kapila is not so much mentioned in terms of his father, Kardama Muni, but more often he's referred to as Devahuti Putra Kapil. So, in the course of that section, which is several chapters, in the third canto, chapters 25 through 32, that's 8 chapters dedicated to the questions of Devahuti to her son. In general, Lord Kapila's philosophy is known as Sankhya, an analytical study of the material world. But within that analysis, the conclusion is the same conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. What is that conclusion? Bhakti, devotional service, as the solution to all problems. Let's hear now how Lord Kapila, for me, answers the questions, the topics that I was asked to speak. O noble lady, there are multivarious paths of devotional service in terms of the different qualities of the executor. Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent, and angry, and who is a separatist, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. So, I may see myself as a devotee, I may be executing bhakti, but I can be in the mode of ignorance. What are the symptoms? When I do my bhakti, am I envious of others? Am I proud, violent, and angry? If that's my symptoms, yes, I'm doing devotional service in the mode of ignorance. And Lord Kapila used a certain word here, separatist. Separatist means, and it will be explained further as we get on. Separatist means I have a different agenda from Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 15, Krishna says, you will find two kinds of people. Those in the material world, they're fallible. And those in the spiritual world, infallible. And when Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master, is explaining that concept, he also refers to this, that in the spiritual world, there's only one opinion. That opinion is, what does Krishna want? That's all. Whatever Krishna says, that's what I want. But a separatist, or one who is not in one with the intention of the Lord, has his or her own agenda. That's a separatist. They are not on the same page as God. Let's continue. Worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame, and opulence is devotion in the mode of passion. So, there's an expression we have, I grew up with. If the shoe fits, wear it. So this is, I'm not pointing the finger at anyone except me. But if you are interested, see which shoe fits you. He goes on. When a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the results of activities in order to become free from the inebrieties of fruitive activities, such devotion is in the mode of goodness. He's not done. There's a fourth platform, the manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down towards the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. Such a pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation, even though they are offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By attaining the highest platform of devotional service, as I have explained, one can overcome the influence of the three modes of material nature and be situated in the transcendental stage as is the Lord. So why is there conflict? Why is there fighting, disagreement, disharmony? Because you have different kinds of worshipers. And some worshipers, it was mentioned, they're in the mode of ignorance. Again, what are the symptoms? Envious, proud, violent, and angry. Then, another kind of worshiper in the mode of passion. What is their agenda? They want material enjoyment from their worship. They want to become famous. And they want opulence. Then you have the mode of goodness. The worshiper is simply trying to become free from all the material inebrieties. And then the desired platform, pure devotion. The worshiper doesn't want anything. the worshiper simply wants to develop more and more love of God. The solution is not a political, shall we say, referendum. My spiritual master used to always say, look at this United Nations we have in New York. The United Nations was supposed to be some kind of grand plan by which there would be peace, because after World War I and World War II, there was this notion, let us have a United Nations. But instead of there being a United Nations, every year a new country is added. So it's not achieving. And my spiritual master one time spoke outside the United Nations and said, there can be no peace in this world until three things are accepted. And that is known as the peace formula found in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. What is that peace formula? Number one, Bhoktaram Yajnatapasam. Krishna, God, is the supreme enjoyer. Not you, not me, not America, not India, no. Krishna, God. Number two, Krishna or God is the supreme proprietor. Nothing belongs to me, nothing belongs to you. Everything is controlled and owned by the Supreme Lord. Same thing that's mentioned in Ishopanishad. Ishyavasam idam sarvam yachinchat jagatam jagat tena takyena bunjida madgida kasyasviddhanam. And number three, the third principle of the peace formula, the dearmost friend of everyone who is residing in everyone's heart is Krishna. When these three principles are accepted individually, communally, globally, then we can chant Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. But to the degree that I can't say that, or Placentia can't say that, or California, to the degree that that's lacking, there's not going to be peace and harmony. So, I will end part one here. First recommendation, peace begins at home. First, let me be peaceful. Let me be an example, and then I can begin to try to help others come to that stage. But it's not going to happen with another board resolution or another amendment to the Constitution. It's never going to happen, because it has to be something people agree to. So let me first, it begins with me. I have to find out. Now, I heard from Lord Kapila. So, which one am I? Am I a worshiper in the mode of darkness? Am I a worshiper in the mode of passion? Am I in goodness or in this pure? I have to honestly, objectively, actually, to be very honest, I see symptoms of all of them. In myself. So now I see, what must I do? I have to get rid of that, and come up to here. We also say in America, charity begins at home. So let me first rectify myself, then try to help others. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. Part 1. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So actually, there are four parts, time permitting. So, in the second part, Lord Kapila now speaks to that person who wants to improve. After hearing the four different kinds of devotees or worshipers, and after honestly looking in the spiritual mirror and admitting, all right, I should work on this. In this part two, Lord Kapila gives instructions how to get to the next level. Now, obviously, if you're in the lowest stage, one of the symptoms was pride. So somebody who's proud thinks, I don't need to improve. I'm already perfect. Well, for that person, can't help you. But Lord Kapila is speaking to that person now who does want to improve him or herself. Let's see what Lord Kapila says. A devotee must execute prescribed duties, which are glorious, without material profit, without excessive violence. One should regularly perform one's devotional activities. The devotee should regularly see my statues in the temple, touch my lotus feet, and offer worshipable paraphernalia and prayers. One should see in the spirit of renunciation from the mode of goodness, seeing every living entity as spiritual. The pure devotee should execute devotional service by giving the greatest respect to the spiritual master and the previous acharyas. One should be compassionate to the poor and make friendship with persons who are his or her equals. But all one's activities should be executed under regulation with control of the senses. A devotee should always try to hear about spiritual matters and should always utilize his or her time in chanting the holy name of the Lord. One's behavior should always be straightforward and simple. And although one is not envious, but is friendly to everyone, one should avoid the company of persons who are not spiritually advanced. When one is fully qualified with all these transcendental attributes, one's consciousness is thus completely purified, and he or she is immediately attracted simply by hearing my name or hearing of my transcendental quality. So one nice thing about reading Srimad Bhagavatam is that you have access to actually test your own spiritual fever. In other words, again, if you are honest with yourself, by hearing this, you can gauge, okay, I'm not down here, I'm not up here, I'm somewhere in between. But it's nice to know. It's nice to know where one is. Now, there was one thing, because most of this was very straightforward, I didn't need to explain much, but there was one thing in here that I'd like to explain a little bit. Alright, one of those things, Lord Kapila says, although one is not envious, but friendly to everyone, one should avoid the company of persons who are not spiritually advanced. So the meaning of that is, we in our lives, we deal with so many people. We deal with people at the workplace. We deal with family members. We deal with people all day long. We're not living in caves. We're living in cities. You're going to have to deal with people sooner or later. So, Kapil Dev says, should not be envious, and you should be friendly. But avoid the company of persons who are not spiritually advanced. Meaning, you should be selective who you are going to spend time with. Quality association. Not everybody, right? Most people, hello, how are you? How you doing? But then there's another circle that you are going to be more intimately related to. Lord Kapila is saying you should be intimately connected with persons who are spiritually advanced. Problem is, when you're in the mode of darkness, you think, there's nobody spiritually advanced. What are you talking about? Again, can't help that person. But if you're meek and humble, then you should be able to decipher. Oh yes, this person is more spiritually advanced than me. This is the kind of person I want to be with. Or, he even said here, previous, make friendship with persons who are one's equal. In another place, Srila Prabhupada, there's a different discussion about the three different levels of devotees. So, the neophyte devotee was discussed by Lord Kapila, the one in the mode of darkness or passion. That's called neophyte devotee. He's a devotee, but neophyte. Now, the second stage of devotee is able to see four different kinds of things. And with those four different kinds of things, behaves differently. This second class, or Madhyama Adhikari, first of all knows there is God. And will we point it out a lot in part 3 and 4. This second class devotee knows God is in everyone's heart. Not just mine. It's also in your heart. And therefore, I have to at least recognize Shambhu, Lord Shiva, told his wife when she was in the form of Sati, after the incident with her father Daksha, when Daksha brutally blasphemed Lord Shiva in the assembly, Lord Shiva remained silent. No retaliation, didn't speak a word. Not so easy to do. Very difficult. That's why he's Lord Shiva. Later, there was a discussion between Lord Shiva and Sati, his wife. And Lord Shiva told his wife, I don't pay obeisances to the person who identifies with that body. Lord Shiva says, I pay obeisances to Krishna inside that body, not to the person who identifies with that body. You see the difference? As a Vaishnava, Lord Shiva is the topmost of Vaishnavas, according to Srimad Bhagavatam in the 12th canto, one of the last verses. Lord Shiva has described Vaishnavanangata Shambhu, the greatest of the Vaishnavas. So if I want to be like Lord Shiva, a Vaishnava, which I do, then I have to offer respects to every single body. Why? Because Krishna is in that person's body. I'm not paying obeisances to you. No offense. I'm following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva. If you've got a complaint, you can take it up with him. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to do what Lord Shiva says. Lord Shiva says, I offer respects to Krishna in the heart of that body. Therefore, there's a mantra which my spiritual master taught me. Vancha kalpaturubhyascha kribhasindubhyayabhacha patitanang bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. With that, I'll end part two. To be continued. Kakanaji. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So Lord Kapila now is continuing on this point, and he has more to say about the different kinds of devotees, worshippers. As the chariot of air carries an aroma from its source and immediately catches the sense of smell, similarly, one who constantly engages in devotional service in Krishna consciousness can catch the Supreme Soul who is present everywhere equally. Now, Lord Kapila is going to tell us something about himself. I am present in every living entity as the Super Soul. So Lord Kapila is saying that he is non-different from Krishna. If someone neglects or disregards that Super Soul everywhere and engages him or herself in the worship of the deity in the temple, that is simply imitation. He goes on. One who worships the deity in the temple, but does not know that the Supreme Lord as Paramatma is situated in every living entity's heart, must be in ignorance and is compared to someone who offers oblations into ashes. Kapil Dev continues, one who offers me respect but is envious of the bodies of others and is therefore a separatist, never attains peace of mind because of one's inimical behavior towards other living entities. This was proven, what I mentioned before, the incident of Daksha criticizing Lord Shiva. Daksha was exactly a separatist. He could not recognize that Krishna was in the heart of Lord Shiva. My dear mother, even if one worships with proper rituals and paraphernalia, a person who is ignorant of my presence in all living entities never pleases me by worship of my deities in the temple. Performing one's prescribed duties, one should worship the deity until... Oh, here, this is interesting. I'll start over. Performing one's prescribed duties, in other words, you may be a man, you may be a woman, right? Everybody has prescribed duties, even children. Okay, we all have prescribed duties. Performing one's prescribed duties, one should worship the deity until one realizes my presence in one's own heart and in the hearts of other living entities as well. Seems like this is a big point, at least according to Lord Kapil. He's been now hammering this point now in several verses. Now he gets even more intense. Hold on to your seats. As the blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to anyone who makes the least discrimination between him or herself and other living entities because of a differential outlook. Therefore, through charitable gifts and attention, as well as through friendly behavior and viewing all to be alike, one should appease me who abides in all creatures as the Supreme Self. I'm going to go on now to the final part, part number 4. Lord Kapila says, living entities are superior to inanimate objects. Among them, living entities who display life symptoms are better. Animals with developed consciousness are better than them. And better still are those who have developed sense perception. Among living entities who have developed sense perception, those who have developed the sense of taste are better than those who have developed only the sense of touch. Better than them are those who have developed the sense of smell. And better still are those who have developed the sense of hearing. Better than those living entities who can perceive sound are those who can distinguish between one form and another. Better than them are those who have developed upper and lower sets of teeth. And better still are those who have many legs. Better than them are the quadrupeds. And better still are human beings. Among human beings, that society which is divided according to quality in work is best. And in that society, the intelligent persons who are designated as Brahmanas are the best. Among the Brahmins, one who has studied the Vedas is the best. And among those who have studied the Vedas, one who knows the actual purport of the Veda is the best. Better than the Brahman who knows the purpose of the Vedas is one who can dissipate all doubts. And better than him is one who strictly follows the Brahminical principles. Better than him is one who is liberated from all material contamination. And better than him is a pure devotee who executes devotional service without expectation of reward. Therefore, I do not find a person greater than one who has no interest outside of mine. Remember at the beginning, I talked about the separatist. This is not the separatist. He has no interest outside of God's interest. They're on the same page. And who therefore engages and dedicates all activities, all life, everything unto me without cessation. Such a perfect devotee offers respect to every living entity because he or she is under the firm conviction that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has entered the body of every living entity as the Supersoul. So this is repeating. When something is repeated in the Vedas, that means it's kind of important. And it needs to be repeated. Why? Obviously, it's not something easily understood or grasped, or better still, put into practice. My dear mother or daughter of Manu, a devotee who applies the science of devotional service and mystic yoga in this way can achieve the abode of the Supreme Person simply by that devotional service. So in the Bhagavad Gita, we see at least three times Krishna says, you want to see me? Bhakti. You want to know me? Bhakti. You want to come to me? Bhakti. So, there is no other alternative. Here we are in the age of Kali. The age of Kali began the day Krishna left this planet and went back to his abode 5,000 years ago. From that very moment, the age of Kali began. The age of Kali is the age of quarrel and confusion. So it's no mystery that whether it be in our home, at the workplace, in the temple, there's quarrel and confusion. Why? Because it's the age of Kali. And every one of us, to a lesser or greater degree, is influenced. You can definitely see the influence of the age of Kali in the White House, in the Congress, between the Republicans and Democrats. There is Kali Yuga right there on display. Daily. Do they get along? They don't get along, do they? Fight, 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 fight. And that's what we're paying millions of dollars for? For their fighting? And they get to go on TV? And all they're doing is fighting. It's understandable. It's the age of Kali. And after all, what's this state? California. It's our state. Now, to finish up, after Krishna in my heart gave me this section from Lord Kapila to answer the topic, in the midst of doing that homework and studying, another section to answer this question from yet a different angle of vision is by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's direct disciple, Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami has written one book, Upadesh Amrita, Nectar of Instruction. And there are a few verses which I'd like to read. And this will also help us to appreciate the science of solution. Because it's one thing to be able to point out a problem. And anyone can do that. But to find the solution, acha, that's much more difficult. So Rupa Goswami first is going to tell us what are the root causes of dissension. Here you go. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpa niyamagraha janasangas cha lolyangcha shadbir bhaktir vanashyati. Rupa Goswami says there are six things which destroy harmony, peace, devotional service. What's the first one? Ati ahar. Overeating or over collecting. So again, I have to, you have to analyze. Do I overeat? Do I over collect? You all know what you have in your garages and closets. You all know. Then, Prayasa. The next thing. Over-endeavoring for material things. For sense gratification. Shri Shri Radha Raman Bhagavan Naki. Over-endeavoring. Next one. Prajalpa. Idle talk. Gossiping. Another word, Gramya Kata. Politics. Even temple politics is under the heading of Prajalpa. Then, Niyama Agraha or Niyama Agraha. Sometimes one can be so fanatic following rules and regulations that one forgets the purpose. As we say, can't see the forest for the trees. So somebody becomes so nitpicky, you don't achieve what you want to do. Then on the other hand, is the person who thinks, I don't care for rules and regulations, I'm going to do whatever I want. Whimsical. No. You have to follow the rules and regulations, but also make sure that you're achieving the goal of advancement. And then the last one, Jana Sangha. Associating with worldly minded people. Now, you all have to work in the workplace. You're going to be with all kinds of people, okay. But you do not want to be intimately associated. Your intimate association should be with these people, devotees. All right. So those are the things which will create a bad atmosphere. Now, the positive ones. So, if you want to have a nice home, a nice temple, six things. What's the first one? Utsahan. Enthusiasm for devotional service. Next one. Nishchayat. Confidence. Yes, we're following Krishna, we're following Bhagavad Gita, that's good enough for me. I'm confident. I made that decision on July 15, 1973. I left my home, my family, I went to the Hare Krishna temple with my suitcase, and I said, I want to give my life to Prabhupada and Krishna. I was confident at the age of 23. I was confident that simply by following my spiritual master and following Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, my life would be a success. And I will tell you, I do not regret that decision. I was 23. Later this month, I will be 63. 40 years. Best decision I ever made in my life. I definitely am confident in Prabhupada and Krishna. The next one, Daryat. Patience. Don't expect overnight. Just like a woman. She gets married, she can't say, hey, we've been married 2 hours, where's my child? This. Patience. Slow down. Let the process take effect and make sure that, yes, remember, Niyamagraha. Can't be acting whimsically and thinking, oh, I should get the result. No. Follow strictly. Be patient. Tat tat karma pravartanat. Strictly following the rules and regulations laid down by the spiritual master. This temple is fortunate that we have here the founder Acharya of ISKCON A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. If we want to be successful, we should strictly follow the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Then, the last one, Sangatyagat Satovrite. Again, giving up the association of non-devotees and following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. As it is said in the Mahabharata, Mahajanayenagata Sapanta. That's why we read Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata, Ramayana. By reading these books, we see how did the previous great personalities live their lives. For the past month now, I've been reading Ramayana and Mahabharata. And I'm learning more and more and more this point. How to learn from those who lived in the past who were great souls, Mahajans. I read about Yudhisthira, Bhim, Arjuna, Ram, Lakshman. I'm learning, and of course, I read about Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Final verse. This final verse teaches us how to associate with each other. This is what I like about Srila Prabhupada's books. They're science manuals. Science manuals. Some people have a problem with Prabhupada's books because they're expecting it to read like Harry Potter. That's not Prabhupada's books. These are science textbooks. You have to go over slowly, carefully, scrutinizingly, one verse at a time. So this verse by Rupa Goswami teaches us, because we've mentioned now several times, both here by Rupa Goswami and also Lord Kapila, we should not associate with non-devotees. We should associate with devotees. Now this is how we should associate. Dadati pratigrinati, guyamakyati prichyati, bhunkte bojayate chaiva, shadvidhang priti lakshanam. Dadati. So amongst ourselves, give charity. You give charity to other devotees. That's the first thing. Pratigrinati. And accept it. Just like somebody just now left some charity. And I accepted it. Because that is two items mentioned here by Rupa Goswami. You give charity and you accept it. Guyam akyati prichati. This has two things. Guyam akyati prichati means if you have a doubt, if there's something you don't understand, then go to somebody who's more advanced than you and ask that person, how do I understand this situation? And then, another aspect is, if you find someone who you trust, who you have no doubts, you might be able to reveal your heart and mind. This is also what devotees do with each other. Inquire confidentially or reveal their heart and soul when it is appropriate. When they find the proper person to whom to share that with. Not with everybody. Somebody who you have great faith. And then, Bhunkte Bhojayate Chaiva. That's coming up. Offering prasad, accepting prasad. We have our hosts tonight. We have two hosts, is that correct? So they are offering prasad. That's love. And then you are to accept it. These are the six symptoms of love shared between one devotee and another. If that goes on, we'll have a very nice temple, a very nice home, a very nice life. And what's the underground of all of that? Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. The thread, the woven thread underlying all of this is the chanting of the holy name of God. Let's all raise our hands. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. We create bad karmas when we disobey Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. I'll make it real simple. When you don't follow the instructions of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, watch out. You will create bad karmas. And when you are obedient to Guru and Krishna, then not only do you create good karma, but you nullify all bad results and become transcendental. So, I'll say it even more simply. You want to destroy bad karma? Chant Hare Krishna. You want to create good karmas? Chant Hare Krishna. How about that? I can't make it any more simple. Thank you.